Please join me in our opening prayer. O God, who lifts us up, sets us free, and watches over us, visit us this day. Lift up our spirits and free our minds. Open our eyes and hearts to your words, your will, and the miracle of your holy presence, that we may encounter you in this meeting of friends and in kindness to strangers. Lift us up and sets us free, O God. Watch over us, we pray. Amen.
To come up to the front. You were here a couple weeks ago when I made scrambled eggs. Right? Okay. All right. So I've got, they're really supposed to be boiled eggs. So I've got a riddle for you. What is it that gets bigger the more you take away? Any guesses? Any guesses? Your love? It's a good answer, but that's not the one I'm looking for. Huh? A bowl. They're right. It's a hole. Yeah. Okay. So, it's true, right? Okay. And then someone also talked about love. Can... if you give love away, do you have less of it to live with? No. No? So if I just gave all of my love away, I wouldn't be empty? No. Okay, so love also then does grow, doesn't it? There's a story that Jesus, there's a story about Jesus and a widow. Do you know what a widow is? It's a woman who was married, but her spouse, it's a person who was married and their husband or wife died. So that's a widow or a widower, okay? So Jesus was watching people bring money to the treasury one day for the synagogue. He was watching them bring money, and wealthy people were coming in. They had rings all over their hands. They had fine clothes on. And they came in and they paraded up to the front and they offered their money so that everyone could see how much they had. And then there was this widow woman, and she just had a few pennies left. It's called a mite, but it would be like a few pennies. And she brought up her few pennies and put them in the treasury too. Who gave more? The people who were wealthy, right? Okay. But who gave more? It would have been the widow, wouldn't it? Because she gave all that she had. Okay. We've been talking about how it is that we share our wealth, and our wealth isn't just money. There's all other kinds of ways that people are wealthy. Are you wealthy? Do you think? Are you wealthy? How are you wealthy? Do you have enough love, or do you have more love than you need? You have more love? Okay. Are your parents just barely patient with you, or are they always patient with you? Right answer. Okay, so then you get a lot more patience than maybe you should sometimes, huh? Okay, well, what about clothes? Do you have enough clothes? Okay. Do you have more than one pair of glasses? You just have one pair of glasses. Okay, so that's pretty important that you keep those, isn't it? Yeah. Do you have more than one pair of boots? Okay. What about toys? Mm-hmm. You have more than enough toys, or do you have enough toys?
More than enough.
More than enough. Okay. Well, that's kind of what we're talking about with the wealthy people who came and brought their from their wealth, they brought it because they had more than enough. So it didn't hurt them to give it away, did it? What about the widow? What if she goes home and there's no food to eat? She gave everything she had. It doesn't seem to make a lot of sense, does it? No. But what the story is about is it reminds us about how we can trust God, how we can trust that we're going to get what it is that we need. And most of us get more than what we need. We have extra. Okay. But that's so that we will, when we think that we need something, if we really look at it, maybe we don't need it, but we want it. Yeah. So this is just reminds us that most of the time we've got more than what we need. And so that any chance that we get to share it is a good thing. Okay? We've been talking about this for a month now, haven't we? Okay, will you pray with me? Mm-hmm.
We thank you, God.
That we have more than enough.
That we have more than enough.
Help us. To be willing.
To share what we have.
When we see others who don't have enough. Amen. Thank you.
Our first reading comes from 1 Kings, chapter 17, 8 through 16. It's about Elijah. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "Go now to Zaphath, which belongs to Sidon, and live there, for I have commanded a widow there to feed you." So he set out and went to Zaphath. When he came to the gate of the town, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her and said, "Bring me a little water in a vessel, so that I may drink." As she was going to bring it, he called to her and said, "Bring me a morsel of bread in your hand." But she said, As the Lord your God lives, I have nothing baked, only a handful of meal in a jar, and a little oil in a jug. I am now gathering a couple of sticks so that I may go home and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die. Elijah said to her, "Do not be afraid. Go and do not do as you have said, but first make me a little cake of it and bring it to me, and afterwards make something for yourself and your son. For this says the Lord, the God of Israel, the jar of meal will not be emptied, and the jug of oil will not fail you until the day that the Lord sends rain on the earth." She went and did as Elijah said, so that she as well as he and her household ate for many days. The jug of meal was not emptied, neither did the jug of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord that he spoke to spoken by Elijah. We have our singing today in the chorus.
Riddle in it, sort of like what Pastor Doris told the children today.
Oh. What is not the answer?
No, kind of like when you give love away, you end up with more. This is when we seek or look for God, we find him, and when we find him, we want more of him. We can never get enough. our response to him.
Our second reading is from Matthew chapter 19, 16 through 30, the story of the rich young man. Then someone came to him and said, "Teacher, what good deed must I do to have eternal life?" And he said to him, "Why do you ask me about what is good? There's only one who is good. If you wish to enter into life, keep the commandments." He said to him, "Which ones?" And Jesus said, "You should not murder, you should not commit adultery, you should not steal, you should not bear false witness, honor your father and mother, also you shall love your neighbor as yourself." The young man said to him, "I have kept all these, what do I still lack?" Jesus said to him, "If you wish to be perfect, go sell your possessions and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, then follow me." When the young man heard this, he went away grieving, for he had many possessions. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Truly I tell you, it will be hard for a rich person to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through an eye of the needle than for someone who is rich and to enter the kingdom of God." When the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished and said, "Then who can be saved?" But Jesus looked at them and said, "For mortals it is impossible. For God all things are possible." Then Peter said in reply, "Look, we have everything and followed you. What then will we have?" Jesus said to them, "Truly I tell you, at the renewal of all things, when the Son of Man is seated on the throne of his glory, you who have followed me will also sit on the 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses, or brothers, or sisters, or father, or mother, or children, or fields, for my name's sake, will receive 100-fold and will inherit eternal life. But many who have first will be last, and the last will be first.
Let us pray. Gracious God, we find your spirit in the word of truth that we get from Holy Scripture. Speak the word to us today. Speak your word. Give us ears that listen. In Jesus' name, amen. We all have images or memories that come to our head, come into our head, our mind, when something that gets triggered by something. And for me, when I think about money related to the church, I remember my father, 6'3", probably 300-pound man, and I was little, so that seemed a lot bigger then. Having someone brought a bag or an envelope for us to look at through and decide how much we were going to pay to the church, and then we were supposed to take it to someone else, and so that this person brought it. And my father's response was, "This is none of your business." And the person went away, not very welcomed. Our culture has taught us that talking about money should make us real nervous. There are some places of employment that you can't share. One employee with another cannot share how much they earn. That teaches us that this is private business. And yet Jesus and the scripture has over 2,350 teachings about what we do with money. The only thing that Jesus spoke more often about than money was the kingdom of God. And even when he spoke of the kingdom of God, he tended to kind of meld those together or weave them together. When we are asked to offer ourselves as members, when we're baptized, our parents say the vow for us. When we are confirmed or when we join the church, we make a vow to support the church with our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness. We make that commitment, and then we decide how it is that we're going to live out the commitment that we've made. Again today, the scripture reminds us of the challenge that we have to deal in appropriate ways with our possessions. So do we identify ourselves with the widow at Zarephath or the widow in the story that I shared with the kids? Or do we identify ourselves with, do we ourselves identify with the rich young ruler? I have a feeling that for most of us, it might be the rich young ruler, because we have so much. We have more than enough. There's a story of a barber walking along one day, walks under a tree, and the tree says, "Hi, how are you doing?" "You talking to me?" "Yes, how are you doing?" "Well, I guess I'm okay. Would you like to be wealthy?" "Of course I'd like to be wealthy." "Well, you go home, and when you get home, you'll find 7 jars of gold. It's your money." And so he ran home, and there were 7 jars of gold, 6 of them totally filled, the other one half filled. And so the man wanted to fill up that 7th one, so he took all of the jewels and all of the finery that his house had. He melted it down. He had it made into coins and put it in the jar, and the jar was still half full. So he went out and started begging for money so that he could put that in the jar, and he did the money, did that with the money that he had begged, and the jar was still half full. One day he was shaving the king's beard for him, giving him a shave, and he said, "Sir or Your Majesty, could you give me a raise?" "How much of a raise would you like?" "Well, could you double my income?" "It's done," said the king. And he went home and put the money in there, and it was still half filled. He went back to the king sometime later to give him a haircut, and the man had stopped eating because that's money that for food that could go into the jar. And so he was starving. His family was starving. He looked awful as he was taking care of the king. The king said, "What's going on with you? Why are you so thin? Are you ill?" And the guy says, "No, nothing really is going on." And the king said, "Do you have 7 jars of gold at home?" "Yeah. How did you know about that?" He said, "Well, I was traveling one day. All of a sudden, there was a voice came from this tree. It asked me if I wanted 7 jars of gold. And I asked the question, can I give the money away?" And there was no response, and the voice was gone. And the king said, "That money that you have can never be spent. It can only be hoarded." I suspect that many of us are in a manner hoarders. Anyone here live in one of those tiny houses? Well, I'm not going to either, but there's a strong sense in our society that we need to live more simply. That, and boy, I hope, oh, no, he doesn't work at the bank anymore. Okay, good. You don't work at the bank, so I'm not, I'm safe here. Okay. Not saying that we shouldn't get mortgages for our homes, but I think that we hoard when we've got too much of anything. I've got way too many clothes. I've got way, way too many CDs of music. I've got way, way too much decorations for Christmas. I can't even put them all out. I've got so much. I have to decide if I'm going to use green and gold this year or red and green or whatever. I'm a hoarder. What Elijah said to the widow was that she would always have enough. Until the rains came, she would always have enough. There's a, what's her name? Judy Mills Reimer is part of the, pastor in the Church of the Brethren. And they had supported a missionary in southern Sudan. And this was back in the late 1990s. So there was war going on, and the people, the missionaries, needed to leave the country in order that they would be safe. And so they went to Nairobi in Kenya. And they were safe there, but they went back every week to have worship services. And because there was so much danger of populated places being bombed, they would start worshiping at 6 o'clock in the morning while it was still dark so that the planes wouldn't be able to see a large gathering of people. And Judy says that she was in this service visiting in the southern Sudan. And at one part in the service, now we're just going to pretend for a minute that this is the back part of the service and things are turned around, because you won't see what I'm going to do if I come the other way. So all of the people gathered at the back of the church, and she was watching, and she couldn't understand because all of them were holding their hands like this, nothing in their hands, holding their hands like this. They were all walking to the front of the sanctuary. And she said, "What's going on? Why are they doing that?" And as she watched the people, they were wearing T-shirts that had come from the United States. They were threadbare. And the missionary said, "These people have nothing. They have nothing. They don't have food. They don't have money. They don't have safe places to sleep. But they're bringing themselves because that's all they have. And that for them is a total commitment." What a commitment for that missionary and his family to go back to southern Sudan every week for worship. They had to drive like 473 miles from where they were staying to where this church was, where they had been missionaries. It was a 7.5-hour drive to get there. And then 7.5 hours hours home. They started worship at 6 o'clock so that it would be done by daylight. Commitment on the part of the people the congregation, and certainly on the part of this missionary family who would go back once a week because the people needed to praise God for what they did have. I think about some of the neediest people that I know or have known. And the neediest of people that I have known still have enough. They might get it through a food pantry. They might get it through a clothing closet. They might get it by knocking on the pastor's door in town and asking for help. But they have enough that way. When Jesus said to the rich ruler, "Go and sell your possessions and then come back," he went away sad. And Peter said, "Who can be saved then? Jesus, we've given up everything for you. Who can be saved?" And Jesus' response was, "No one by themselves. But God makes it possible. God makes it possible." For us to know fullness of life here and now, and for us to receive abundance for eternity, God makes it possible. We are indeed blessed. Amen. We're going to do the offering a little bit different today, just because we are we're collecting the our commitment cards for next year. So I'm going to set the two offering plates at the front here, and while Cindy plays, you're invited to come and make your offering. If you have an offering that you put in regularly or whatever, do that. And if you've got your commitment card, please put them in there. help spread the word of Jesus' power, O God. So may we spread the word of your grace as we share these gifts and our very lives with those in need. May these offerings be instruments of your healing, your justice, and your good news in this community and around the world. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. And we want to keep Mary Lee in our prayers as she goes through these days. She was blessed with her mother for a long life. Perhaps that means there's greater loss. Other people or situations? Oh, okay. There. Okay. I'm sorry. I couldn't tell where. Can you say it again? Synagogue. Let us pray. Loving God, creator of all that is, and giver of eternal life, you call us toward wholeness and healing, that wholeness that we can only find in you through Jesus Christ. You freely give us life that has no end, and you call us to serve others with love and compassion. Sometimes that causes us conflict. Sometimes we find that the world gives us grief and pain in the midst of our seeking to be faithful to you. Sometimes what we see is just not fair, and we don't know what to do about it. We pray to know that we would find the challenges and be faithful with all that you have given us. Help us to know in our mourning the challenge of comfort and your gracious presence. We pray for wisdom. We pray for open minds. We pray for hearts that truly see the presence of Christ in every person that we meet, that we're not so different, that we don't need to be enemies, that peace and reconciliation is possible. This is our hope, O God. We pray for others, those whom we've named out loud and those whose names we lift silently. Let us comfort those who are in pain and mourning. Help us to be faithful. Help us to know how it is you would have us go. And help us to see the opportunities for ministry that are inside this building and outside in our community. Help us to know how we can serve you, how we can witness to this saving grace that we have received. How we can freely give. We pray this all in Jesus' name, and we pray as he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Lead us not into temptation. Amen. We turn to hymn number 711. For all the saints. Of all that is good. Thank you for the blessings that we have. Help us to hear your call to be good stewards, caretakers, and managers of all the gifts by sharing them for your purposes with the world. May we serve you with a joyful spirit of mind and heart. Amen.